The first thing my mother learned about America was back in Saigon in the early 1970s. She had just seen an episode of Mission Impossible. She didn't know much English at the time, but she watched each episode for just one reason: the fashion. Women wore beautiful dresses, fancy shoes, and sparkling jewelry. Through her eyes, Americans seemed to be the richest people. But that memory doesn't just belong to my mother. Many Vietnamese Americans remember their first impressions of a foreign land.
I love America even when I was young, way before in 1975.
Susan Nguyen recalls the moment Neil Armstrong and his crew landed on the moon in 1969.
I remember about the three American men walking on the moon.
She watched on her small black and white television in Vietnam, transfixed by what she saw, aware that it was real but very far away. That was her first impression of America.
One of them, his name is Neil Armstrong. He was so handsome. So I remember about Red Cross, about American soldiers, about very wealthy country. They do a lot of charity works, and they are the first pioneer in many areas.
For many Vietnamese back then, America was just an idea, a place of dreams, some real, some fantasy, some hard to grasp. All of these impressions came from a distance. For one Vietnamese man, who was just a boy at the time, there were even dreams about something called a recreational vehicle. He'd never heard anything like it. A motor vehicle equipped with living space?
And they go, oh yeah, this automobile have like bathroom and shower and stuff. It's beautiful. It's this big car with everything in there. And you know, when you're a kid, that's like, oh my God, that is so awesome.
Yao Ding grew up in Houston, Texas. As a boy, he'd also heard stories about Disneyland, a theme park divided into make-believe lands with seamless passages from one land to the next. In just one day, he could experience a 20th century Midwest town on Main Street, a jungle-themed cruise in Adventureland, and an optimistic vision of the future in Tomorrowland.
I mean, my uncle was like, oh my God, it's Disneyland, it's great, it's, you know, it's all this fun thing there. I think, you know, my uncle did that is because so we don't get scared and not want to come here. But that's the story he told us. It's like, oh my God, this Disneyland over here is great.
Some were too young to develop their own impressions of America. Alan Vo says at the time, the only thing that went through his mind was something his parents taught him and his siblings.
And back then when you were young, you don't really think much of, you know, except your parents. And, you know, what your parents taught you is that to be good in school and to do the best you can.
But Susan, Yao, and Alan didn't know they'd soon be learning about America firsthand. As North Vietnam invaded South Vietnam on April 30th, 1975, everything changed for them and for a number of other Vietnamese families. Yao's parents lost everything in 1975. Communists took their belongings, their money, their business. That's when they decided to leave the country. From a beach in South Vietnam, they made their journey to America in a small boat.
When they come over here, we have nothing. The best part of our journey, I mean, to America was in our neighborhood. There was a bunch of kids that, you know, we play outside every day. And actually, they were my tutor, pretty much, speaking English-wise. If I have bad English, it's probably their fault.
Many Vietnamese struggled since the day they arrived at their refugee camps in America. My mother came with $100, my father with just $20. When they first arrived in America, their brief stay at Camp Pendleton in San Diego was difficult. People couldn't find loved ones, others sobbed over a lost country. My mother often heard cries at night. A woman who couldn't bring her five children screamed. Another woman who left her ill husband behind wept into her blanket. Susan stayed in a camp too, but she doesn't consider those days her first. Her first real day, she says, was the day she drove from her refugee camp in Pennsylvania to her sponsor's home in Bridgewater, New Jersey.
That's sometime in July of 1975. The scenery was beautiful, the street was clean. We arrived at the sponsor's house with many welcomes from the minister's family and a few members of the church. We love the setup that we actually live in the sponsor's house. So we know exactly how they talk, how they live, how they react. So after we arrive, they show us our room. We stay in until dinner time. I ate a typical American dinner that night. Steak, salad, mashed potatoes, and apple pie for dessert.
She says she missed traditional foods, foods that represented a connection to the past and a way to hold on to her ethnic heritage. So she and her husband asked their sponsor's wife for rice.
So she has some mashed potato and rice, okay? But then we have only one spoon of rice, each of us. So I thought to myself, oh my God, we want rice. We don't want meat. Too much meat. But finally, she took me to the supermarket. So I asked her to buy a big bag of rice. And I asked her, can I cook the rice? She was shocked that I cooked like the whole big pot. She said, can you guys finish this in a month or something? I said, no, we will finish it in 2 days. And we sure did.
Yao distinctly remembers his first taste of Coca-Cola. The soda existed in Vietnam, but he says his relatives never let him drink it. He could only look.
And when we saw Coca-Cola in the store, it was like, oh my God, it's Coca-Cola. And it's not just the little bottle. This is Texas, so it's like this big bottle. Like, we're like, oh my God, look how big this Coke is.
Other Vietnamese refugees remember feelings of uncertainty, the loss of friends and loved ones. Alan Vo, who was just a boy when he arrived in America, remembers poverty and the shortage of food. At the age of 10, he started working at a nearby vegetable farm.
Our landlord owns the house that we rent with a big piece of land. It's like half an acre. And they would grow all kind of vegetables. He would pay me a full day, like $10, and then half a day, $5.
When he saved enough money, Alan says he bought his very first stereo system. But his most prized possession was the Sony television he purchased for his family. It was in color.
I remember that the other TV, the first TV that we had was the TV that was broken that we picked up on the street. It was black and white, and then it worked for like a month or so. And then we're trying to fix it, but it would cost too much to fix.
Susan only had about $300 with her, so she knew she had to spend it wisely. To this day, her most prized possessions are the ones she purchased with that money.
The first thing that I bought in America, I remember so well. I bought my pink wedding dress and two wedding rings that left us just $30 to start our life together.
The vegetable farm took most of Alan's nights. He wanted to help support his family of five. But during the day, he was in school. He says the language barrier there was almost unbearable. Alan still remembers the bullying and the teasing.
You got picked on a lot, you know, because you were a scrawny little kid, and then, you know, with all the other kids all much bigger than you, and I remember that in school.
But one child at Alan's school defended him when nobody else did. He and the child quickly became best friends. Such good friends, in fact, that Alan now uses his friend's first name.
My first name is Alan, and it came from a friend of mine that was named Alan also. So I told myself I'm going to take his name to help other people that are in need if they were like in my shoes.
When Yao arrived in America, he remembers wearing clothes that people donated. But what stands out to him most is the t-shirt he wore when he saw his new home.
I was wearing, I'm pretty sure it was this red striped shirt, which is my favorite shirt, and I'm pretty sure I'm wearing that when I came to America. And that's the other thing, too, is we all wear a cowboy jean because that was the cool thing. You have Levi, you know, you're in like American.
But even with a pair of name brand jeans, Yao didn't exactly feel as if he fit in. He was just 9 years old when he fled Vietnam, but on paper, he was 7.
When we come to America, my mom and my dad, fib my age a little bit. Well, fib 2 years, so we could stay in school a little longer, so we could learn English, you know, a little longer. So I'm 42 now, but in, I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm on paper, I'm 40.
Some stories of the journey to America overcame generational barriers. Children who were too young to remember learned for the first time of their families and friends' horrific wartime experiences. My father often told me stories about the Tet Offensive, a military campaign during the Vietnam War that began in 1968. The Eve of Tet, also known as Vietnamese New Year's, was usually celebrated with firecrackers, so when people heard the first gunshots, they dismissed them. But as the shots continued and the differences in the sounds became apparent, people in my father's neighborhood realized they were under attack. The military base was just a few blocks from my father's home. He remembers hearing gunshots day and night. Other people told me stories I'd never heard about. Alan's father endured forced labor for 9 years in a concentration camp, simply because he worked for the South Vietnamese government. He remembers living through brutal and inhumane conditions.
They used to eat like cockroaches and, you know, roots from trees just to keep them alive. And then there's a lot of prisoners in there that got sick. And then what happened is, you know, inside the camp where they sleep together, the one that throw up, the other one would eat that throw up because that's the only food that they had.
Some Vietnamese refugees fled in boats and headed toward the South China Sea. Many women and children were raped. Others were robbed of the little possessions they carried with them. Food went quickly, so quickly that crew and passengers often ate human flesh out of necessity.
The first person that just died fresh, you would drink their blood from the head.
Several days after my father left Vietnam, communist soldiers invaded my grandmother's home and demanded that she leave. She was terminally ill with cancer at the time. A neighbor said my grandmother's friend drove her to the countryside, as far away from her lost home as possible. But just 7 days later, she passed away. Since then, my father and mother have not returned to Vietnam. The memories are still too painful. My parents say they'll return when Vietnam is a free country. Now, 36 years later, there are more than 1 million Americans of Vietnamese descent. Of those, a little more than 150,000 live in Southern California. They've established a strong community in a short amount of time. One of the largest Vietnamese enclaves is located in Westminster. It's a slice of Vietnam that some Vietnamese refugees now consider their cultural home. Yao's family has owned a restaurant there for years. He'll never forget the tough times he and his family experienced in America. But he says there's one good thing about his family's journey here.
The best part of that is it got my family together more. I mean, before when we had money, my parents never really eat together. We never eat together. We always eat separately, you know, separate time. And I wish, not, I don't wish we were poor, but it just, it seemed like my family worked better when we were, you know, struggling.
Alan owns an auto insurance company in Westminster. He says it's most important to be thankful for his parents, the two people who worked hard to give him an education and a new life.
Every parents that come to America pretty much sacrifice themselves. And they work their finger to the bones for the kids to provide whatever they can for educations. And so I think all the kids should appreciate that and know.
Susan visits Westminster often. She was worried when she first reached America. What would she do to survive? How could she carry on with so little money? But now things are different.
We went through a lot of hardship and hard times. But I think back, We're very happy. Things turned out even much more than I expected. Our kids have grown and have a great future ahead. This is a land of opportunity. No doubt, this is heaven on earth.
Many Vietnamese refugees have established new roots in America. They're continuing to build a community out of tragedy, trauma, and survival. Several hold high positions in local governments. Others own successful businesses. But despite everything, their memories of a lost country will remain with them forever. Christine Trang, Annenberg Radio News.